Ooh, excuse me. Oh, God, that's bad. Sorry, excuse me.
We're all having a fun day.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication, and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
It's a Loosey Goosey bonus episode. I'm Bethany Watson.
I'm Kathleen Heaney.
And we don't even have a topic today. We're just going to talk. So come pull a chair up, sit down with us. We're going to have a conversation. Because Kathleen, when we jumped onto Skype today, you were like, Bethany, I like your shirt. I devolved into having an argument last night. And tell me what happened, Kathleen. Okay. What's going on?
Bethany, you are wearing our daytime coven shirt, and it looks so good on you.
Thank you. It says, daytime coven rules. 1, harm no one. 2, black as a summer color. 3, in bed by 9.
And so many taste buds have been taking selfies and posting it on social of them wearing their daytime coven shirts because the first batch just got shipped.
Yeah.
And the journey for us making the shirt was a long one.
This was the biggest fight we've ever had.
And so I'm standing in my kitchen last night looking at my husband and I'm saying, I was wrong. My instincts about the coven shirt were totally wrong. People love it. And you know what? I'm learning from my mistakes.
So should we go into a little of the history of our daytime coven shirt?
Well, I mean, we joke about the podcast being a coven, but we both like to go to bed early, especially you, Bethany.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of our – so the reason, gentle listener, that this was the biggest fight we've ever been in is because – and we've sort of hinted at it in previous episodes – but Kathleen is a designer and I am not. And so any of the designs you see happening with the pod on our merch, on our website, on our social is all like Kathleen and her amazing design skills. What this means, though, is that often Kathleen's aesthetic is represented more than mine because she's the one doing the designing. And so I said, you know, I've noticed that our podcast involves a lot of color and a lot of like enthusiasm and optimism. And that doesn't always reflect me. And so Kathleen, being amazing, was like, you design a shirt. Like, I want you to have your own shirt that you've designed and blah, blah, blah. So I design the daytime coven shirt. And
immediately I'm like, no, no, it's not going to work.
Kathleen was like, here's how we're going to change it. And she added like exclamation points and color.
You know what, Bethany? I have to say that our journey together, designing this witchy shirt and you opening up my eyes to this world of sort of like dark, majestic, magical, witchy design has made me a better designer.
That's such a sweet thing for you to say.
And I feel like some of the work that I've been producing lately is better than anything I've ever done in my whole life. And that is because I was resistant at first, but I took a step back and opened my head and my heart to really listen to what you had to say. And then it's kind of like, what do they call that? The Barbra Streisand effect?
Yeah.
I don't know.
When
you have never heard of something before in your life, and then someone tells you once, and then you hear it all the time.
Yeah, and then you see it everywhere. You hear it everywhere.
You see it everywhere. So I'm kind of having that with witchy design because I never took note of it before. And now that Bethany has like opened my eyes to a different aesthetic that can still be like hella cute, I'm seeing it everywhere.
And so I'm so thrilled. And, you know, I have a really hard time sticking to my guns. And I'm usually like, let's just compromise or figure it out because I don't like to fight. And this was the one time that I was like, no, we're doing it my way. We're doing it. And like, but one thing I noticed is that as you were suggesting changes to the shirt design, the changes got progressively darker. Which I was like, it started out by like, let's just have a picture of you, Bethany, but with a witch hat on. And then like it ended up with, let's have these two skeletons with their arms around each other, you know? And I'm like, okay, someone's getting into it.
And I think that this is, it's an excellent metaphor for anything in life, gentle listener, that you feel that you're pushing back on, whether it be your relationship in love with your partner or something that's happening at work, or maybe you have a child who approaches life differently than you. Take a second to step back and let the Barbara Streisand effect sink in.
I don't know if that's the Barbara Streisand effect, but I know what you're talking about. There is a name for it. I think the Barbara Streisand effect is when you try to make sure people don't see something, and by doing that, you actually draw more attention to it. Yeah. But I think there is a name for it, like when you start seeing things.
Yeah.
More and more.
That you've never seen before.
Yeah, because you're paying attention to it.
Exactly, yes.
So
anyway.
So back to the shirt. So yesterday you were in the kitchen and you said to Neil, I may have been wrong about the Coven shirt. But then what happened?
But I'm not wrong about farmhouse decor. If you don't live on a farm or in a barn, you shouldn't be decorating your house like one, okay? I went off the rails about farmhouse decor on our live show.
You sure did.
On Sunday. And I have to say, I know I pissed people off. I know I did. Because then I got on my high horse on Twitter this week about accent walls. Like, I hate accent walls.
Yeah. Accent walls
should go to hell.
No. Wow. So.
Accent walls. And I said specifically red accent walls. Get the fuck out of here with your red accent walls. They don't look sexy. They look terrible in your living room. They look terrible in your bedroom. And I just got a slew of taste buds messaging me back like, here's my red accent wall. And also, I love farmhouse decor.
Red accent walls are tough to pull off. When I lived in Texas, our apartment complex, one of the gifts with purchase they gave you when you moved in was you could have them paint one accent wall and you could pick one of four colors. You could pick like a sky blue, like a dusty green, a brown, or a red. And we somehow picked red. And it made our apartment feel so small and so dark. And also our only window in the living room, which is the room that had the accent wall, opened onto the courtyard. And my boyfriend at the time didn't like people being able to see him potentially. And so we always kept the doors and the blinds closed. So it was this dark living room with like a dark red accent wall. It looked like a bordello. So that stuff. So you had a tough night.
I've had my fair share of accent walls.
Hell yeah, so have I.
A long time in college, every place I moved into, I was like, teal accent wall, gonna go right here. It's like I had a teal accent wall everywhere I went. And I think accent walls are fine if the color that you paint the accent wall is just ever so slightly different than the rest of the room.
Sure.
But it's like that stark contrast of like red and white or teal and white, you know?
Yeah,
anyway,
it's tough.
I made a lot of enemies.
People get really attached to their interior decor, as do I. If you told me that Victorian-inspired maximalism was out of trend, I'd punch you in the throat.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Maximalism is back, Bethany, because I was just reading this article about the aesthetic of Gen Zers, and they are all about the maximalism. They also, which bothers me, they don't care about typeface. They mix sans serif with serif, and that really bugs me. But, like, maximalism and, like, totally mismatch random colors. That's what Gen Z is all about, and I'm here for it.
Look, maximalism is great because it just feels cozy. You know, Dennis said a couple days ago that there's a corner of my apartment that makes him physically nauseous and gives him heart palpitations because it's like there's that bar cart that, do you remember when we could see each other and we made him run out into the rain and rescue it from the side of the street?
Yes.
There's a bar cart and it's also like a bookshelf and two pictures hanging. The pictures go up to the ceiling. There's like books and old Vogue magazines, a chess set all in one corner. And he said looking at it gives him a panic attack. And I'm like, it's my cup.
It's your casa. Bethany, I'm with you. I'm also a maximalist. And I'm a messy maximalist. So
yeah. I'm a maximalist and a maxinista. So the day that I can get back to TJ Maxx. Can I tell you something else that drives me crazy?
Yeah, of course.
I hate it when people call TJ Maxx TJs. I hate it.
I've never heard that before.
I hate it. And I don't like to use the word hate. but I hate it. And if you call TJ Maxx TJ's, I hate it.
Is it. Do you hate when people call Target Tarjay?
No, that one makes me giggle still. Okay. I don't know why that doesn't bother me. But TJ's, like, I think
well, TJ's makes me think of Trader Joe's, totally different than TJ Maxx.
I also hate it when people call Trader Joe's TJ's. Yeah. No, because TJ's the name of my cousin I had a crush on. So maybe it's that, like, don't talk about TJ. Oh, I think his children listen to this podcast.
TJ is the name of the coworker we both had a crush on, too. So,
yeah, that's right. And then TJ, his wife is lovely and we love her. I don't know. Yes. Anyway, don't call it TJ's. Or if you do, I don't know. I feel like we're alienating everyone now.
I know. I have a friend who calls McDonald's Ron's. Whenever we're on a road trip and he wants to stop for food, he's like, yo, can we see if there's a Ron's close? And I'm like, what?
Does he do it to try and be clever, or is that something his family has always done?
You know what? I don't know. He's just really, he's a funny guy. So it's part of his shtick.
And it's funny because growing up, our local grocery store was Ron's Castle Foods.
Really?
And so Ron's is like a grocery store to me.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, Ron's is gone now. I worked there for a brief period of time until I quit.
How was it working at a grocery store?
You know what? I really enjoyed it when I was allowed to just stock shelves and, like, when I was in charge of, like, facing things.
Yeah.
Because then you just get to sit alone.
Yeah, so.
And face things.
You know what? That is so funny that you say that, because when Neil and I move 4 blocks away from where we are now, so it's not that
far. Hell yeah.
We're going to be across the street from a grocery store.
Nice.
And I said to Neil, I said, I wonder if I can get a job stocking the shelves at night when the store is closed and I can just, like, listen to my podcasts and walk around.
That's a dream.
Because
that's a dream.
It's across the street. So I'm either at home listening to my podcasts, not getting paid, or I'm just stocking shelves and getting paid.
Kathleen, if tax season taught you anything,
mm-hmm.
it's that most of us have absolutely no idea what we're doing when it comes to our finances.
Apparently, you're supposed to keep track of that stuff.
But our parents never taught us how to manage our finances. Financial literacy classes are rarely offered in school. They're too busy mm-hmm. teaching us about history. And here we all were just trying to save or budget or invest with little or no direction ever given to us. I seldom have a clue what I'm doing. I just know when I'm panicking.
Bethany, I am also in panic mode at all times about money, because I just don't know how much is coming in and how much is going out.
Yeah.
You know, you and I discovered at the end of last year that we had more going out than we had coming in.
Yeah, we're broke. Hi. That's why we love the financial gym. We're clinging to them like they are the lifeboat and we are the movie Open Water.
Last year, we interviewed Shannon McClay. She is the founder of the financial gym. And I don't think we've ever gotten so many responses on an episode as we did with that one with Shannon, because she gave so much good financial and investing and budgeting information. I was like, oh, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. She takes the guesswork out of it.
But getting a handle on your finances and understanding them doesn't have to be boring and scary. The Financial Gym is national. It's a personal financial services company, and they take a fitness-inspired approach to their clients' finances. So they have certified financial trainers. They work one-on-one with you to teach you financial literacy. They teach you how to be accountable for your money and how to make smarter, more strategic decisions about your finances.
And they have locations in Manhattan, Brooklyn, Washington, D.C., and Los Angeles. But now they're doing digital financial meetings with clients, and that is very cool.
So they serve clients in all 50 states. So no matter where you are, you can talk with Financial Gym certified financial trainer.
And the best part? You're going to see results quickly. On average, Financial Gym clients increase their net worth by over $2,500, and they up their credit score by 40 points.
That's a lot of points.
It happens in just 3 months.
So to get started, schedule a free 20-minute consultation call over at financialgym.com/taste and make sure to tell them an Acquired Taste podcast sent you on your call. That's going to get you 30% off of your monthly membership.
And on the call, a Financial Gym team member will pair you with your own certified financial trainer. Then you can get ready to make some serious money moves.
So again, to schedule your free 20-minute consultation, go to financialgym.com/taste and tell them an Acquired Taste podcast sent you, and that's going to get you 30% off your monthly membership. You emailed me this morning at 2:30.
Yeah, I did. And it was
it was about God.
I texted Bethany and I said at 2. By the way, wait, did I email you or did I text you?
You emailed me.
Yes, because
about God.
I have to ask you a question. When I text you in the middle of the night like that, does your phone ding? Does it wake you up?
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
I have it on Do Not Disturb.
Good. That's good to know. Yeah. Because I randomly just text people whenever because I sleep like the dead and I never wake up. And so it never occurs to me that if I text someone, it might wake them up in the middle of the night. Anyway.
Nah.
I was watching Grey's Anatomy.
Of course.
This really good episode with a rabbi. And then I started thinking about my dad and then I was crying. And then I'm thinking about God and with the admins, with Michelle and Mac and Rose and Hannah, we've been having this like pretty long, complicated conversation about Catholicism. And
what do you do?
Bethany,
is this on Facebook or just the four of you or five of you have been talking about this in general?
No, I'm Facebook Messenger. And I just, I think my next topic, it's going to be recorded on Monday. Today is a Friday, the Monday after Easter. Hardy har har. I want to do a topic about God. And so I email Bethany, do you care if I post this? Do you believe in God?
I think God is a fascinating topic.
Yeah.
I think we should definitely talk about God.
Okay, cool.
I think that it's good that we're warning people now so that if you have, you know, a very strong feeling one way or the other, like brace yourself so don't get hurt if we, you know, don't agree necessarily, if we all don't agree. But like, I think it's really fascinating to talk about.
And I think that when people of different religions have conversations about religion and spirituality, it just makes for some of the most interesting. I mean, like this rabbi was dying and his skin was falling off of his body. And he was talking about, I don't know, taking 1/60th of someone else's pain away. And it got me thinking about the podcast. Like if we can talk about something that's painful for someone else and make them feel more normal and we can take away 1/60th of their pain, then I feel like we've done a good job.
I think that's right. Why was his skin falling off? Do you have leprosy?
I forget. You know, there are tears in my eyes and I didn't get all the details.
Oh, you had a rough night. When do you sleep?
I don't know. I don't know. But I went to Target yesterday. It made me feel so much better.
Dude, I'm so jealous. I haven't been to a Target in forever.
I bought a lavender top with a puff sleeve.
Ooh, a puff sleeve.
A puff sleeve.
Did you ever read the Anne of Green Gables books?
I know what you're talking about. I may have skimmed them, but I wasn't like a hardcore fan.
Every time I hear about puff sleeves, which is more common than you'd think,
yeah,
I think about when Matthew went to the local general store and he wanted to buy Anne the dress with the puff sleeves, but he was too nervous, so he kept asking for more grocery things, and he got something like 20 pounds of brown sugar before he worked up the nerve to ask for the dress with the puff sleeves.
You know,
and then Marilla was pissed. She's like, 20 pounds of brown sugar.
You know,
but there was a twinkle in her eye because she loved Anne too.
It doesn't surprise me that you were into the Anne of Green Gables books, and I miss general stores, but when you think about it, the Targets that are grocery stores are really kind of just like extra large general stores.
Yeah. The only difference is that you don't have a person behind the counter getting everything for you, which is better. I hate it. I will not go into like a foodery that has a salad bar where they make the salad for you.
Why?
Because I want such a specific amount of the things I want, and I get sick of being judged for it. Like, if another dude says, you want how many scoops of feta? I'm going to, like, push over the salad bar sneeze guard. Because it's like, you know what? I want three. And you don't get to say a word about it because I've had a hard day. I'm coming straight from therapy, and this is the one nice thing I get every week.
I feel the same way about walking into Subway, my favorite restaurant.
Yeah.
Subway sandwiches. Because I like a lot of pickles, a lot of jalapenos, a lot of banana peppers. I like a lot of sweet onion sauce. And so I have to tell the person making my sandwich in a very specific order, or else if I just tell them all at once, they forget something or they don't put enough on.
Yeah.
And I got into a fight once with a guy behind the counter at a Subway.
With an artist? Like, a sandwich artist?
A sandwich artist. He's like, okay, just tell me what you want. I was like, no, I'll tell you and watch you, and then we'll take it from there. And he's like, no. I'll remember. I was like, no, dude, no, I won't. Like my sandwiches the way I like my sandwiches. And I'm going to ask for extra pickles. And if I tell you now, you're not going to give me extra pickles. And I'm just going to do it the way I want to do it.
Yeah, it's like when that server, we've all had that one server who like comes and like squats down by your table and is like, hey, folks, what can I get for everyone? And he's not writing it down. And you're like, do you need to write it down? And he's like, don't worry, I'll remember. And he never does. He
and
never
he always
remembers.
Messes it up.
Yep, he never remembers. Brings you something wrong. He brings your dad the wrong thing for sure. And your dad is like, I didn't trust that guy to begin with.
I know.
And you're like, yeah, you're right.
I know. And you order a pina colada and they bring you a Cosmo and you're like, this is not what I ordered.
It's like, what fresh hell is this, Ray?
Do you know what? I always feel like the waiters and waitresses at the Cheesecake Factory, they do that. They never write it down.
Hey, folks, if you squat down at my table, I don't trust you. I don't trust a thing you're about to do, and I don't think you're going to get it right. Don't squat at my table.
Cheesecake factories are so large. I'm like, there are 1,500 customers in here. There's no way that you're going to order you're going to remember my order.
And their menu is so vast. How can you possibly remember? You know who I feel bad for?
Who?
The chefs at the Cheesecake Factory.
I know.
How do you learn all those things?
Like, do you think most of it is frozen?
Oh.
Do you think it's like,
you know, probably
Governor Cuomo. Governor Cuomo's, Governor New York, you know, his ex-girlfriend, Sandra Lee, she used to have that show Semi-Homemade, where it's like of her recipes are homemade. I feel like the Cheesecake Factory is like half homemade or maybe like 25% homemade.
You know, that's a good point. Like when I was in high school, I had a friend named Jeremy and he raises German Shepherds.
Oh.
I found out from a late night Facebook stalk. And he had just gotten a job as a cook at Perkins.
Okay.
And one of the things is like he had to remember all of the ingredients for all of the meals. And so he took home a menu and I would sit and be like, you know, large stack. Mm-hmm. And then he would be like, you know, eggs, flour, whatever, 12 pancakes. And then he would tell me like what was all in the hash browns and everything. And I'm like, this job is hard.
Yeah.
A Perkins cook.
You got to remember a lot. Man, you know, Cheesecake Factory, what do I miss there? Like my favorite dish. Love the Asian chicken salad. Mmm, so good.
Yeah. I used to get, when I went to Perkins, I would get a bread bowl with hash browns inside.
What?
And syrup.
No.
Yep.
There was no soup inside that bread bowl?
No. Just hash browns. I never trusted that the soup wasn't going to eke out. So I would just get hash browns. So I would get potatoes inside my bread.
I love a good bread bowl with soup inside of it. First of all, soup is the perfect food.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's the perfect
I used to
food.
Hate it. Now I love it.
Like I love a good clam chowder. Ooh, I had a lobster bisque the other day that I ordered from a seafood store by my mom. And I literally just moaned and ate it. And my mom was like, what is going on?
That must have been uncomfortable for your mom, I bet.
My favorite game to play is most calories for least amount of money, least calories for most amount of money. And I think you're really getting your calories to money worth when you order like any kind of bisque because it's just a bowl of heavy cream.
Yeah, because it's just a cream and a little bit of tomato and a little bit of some sort of protein.
And at the Cheesecake Factory, if you want to spend a lot of money and have very few calories, you need to order their skinny margarita because for $17, you can consume only 150 calories.
$17? How big is that margarita?
It's not big. It's
Why
not
is it $17, Cheesecake Factory?
Know. I mean, my mom and I used to go to the Cheesecake Factory a lot, and then we would go to the movie theater, and it was like our special date night thing. And once I was like, I want a margarita. And my mom was like, yeah, me too. And I was like, you know what? Let's do the skinny margaritas. I bet they're just as good. They weren't just as good. And it was very disappointing.
Any of that skinny girl stuff just tastes like chemicals.
Yeah. I know, man.
Sorry, Bethany Frankel, but it just tastes like chemicals.
She's a brilliant businesswoman. No, I do because I don't like vodka. I do like her skinny girl vodka because it's watered down vodka. I will give her that.
So it's water. That's another way of paying a lot for not very much is you're paying a lot of money for water.
For water.
Water. Well, that was about 30 minutes of nothing. 20 minutes of nothing.
That is my expertise lately. You know, a long time of nothing.
Well, gentle listener, make sure to join our Patreon if you want to see our next Acquired Taste podcast live. It's happening on a Sunday which is going to be Sunday the 11th. So next Sunday at noon Eastern time.
Brunch.
We're doing like a brunchy brunch this time. Join us at the $5 level on Patreon if you want to join that. Also, if you are a patron at the $5 level and you miss a live show, we have it posted on the Patreon feed so you can watch the video. Mm-hmm. So you're still getting your money's worth.
Mm-hmm.
And check out our merch. There's a Coven shirt. It caused a fight.
Oh, and ding! It caused a fight. And also our You Belong sweatshirt for the month of April. We are going to be donating 10% of sales to a charity that we haven't picked out yet, but an organization that promotes transgender equality.
Yes, which obviously is should go without saying.
Okay.
So yeah, that's that about that.
Before we go, Bethany, I have a question for you.
Sure, what's up?
What's your favorite kind of soup?
Ooh, I love. Mm-hmm. Ooh, good question.
Yeah.
What soup is going to get me really jazzed? I do love a cream-based soup.
Yeah.
Something that's going to have pasta in it.
Ooh.
And so like a creamy orzo. Is that a thing?
Oh my God. I don't know, but I love orzo.
Yeah, like a creamy orzo with some sort of like a vegetarian brat or something chopped up in there.
Yeah, I had celery soup the other day.
That sounds awful.
No, Bethany was so good. It was at Lottery, you know, that French macaroon place.
Yeah.
They have a restaurant at the Soho location. They have like an outdoor courtyard. It's really nice. Some friends brought me there. And I had celery soup and I licked the bowl at this fancy restaurant, like pulled the bowl to my face. It was so good.
Was it a cream-based or was it like a broth-based?
It was definitely cream-based, which was good because it was a little chilly outside, so I wanted some soup.
So what's your favorite kind of soup, Kathleen?
Any type of soup.
No, that's not, you can't answer that. You have to pick a favorite. You put me in the position to have to pick a favorite, and now you have to pick a favorite.
I love a good Manhattan clam chowder.
Oh.
I love a good split pea with ham.
Whoa.
I love a good chicken noodle.
Yeah. Yeah, I love a chicken noodle too.
You're my
gentle
chicken
listener.
Noodle.
You're my chicken. Gentle listener, I hope you love a chicken noodle. Have a great day.